Our second case is 2021-1087. Willow Grove Limited versus Olmsted Township Board of Zoning Appeals. Counsel?
Thank you, Your Honor. Chief Justice O'Connor, and may it please the court, I'd like to reserve 5 minutes of my time for rebuttal. The fundamental issue in this appeal is whether the words contained in a statutory schedule are to be given effect or can they be ignored. Statutes, ordinances, and zoning resolutions consist of text arranged in sentences or in schedules. A statutory schedule, like virtually any table, schedule, or spreadsheet, consists of columns and rows, and usually includes column headings that describe and define the text appearing in the columns below the headings. The column headings are textual elements of the schedule. Regardless of whether they're in sentence form or in schedule form, the same rules of construction apply to laws. The most basic rule of construction is that courts must give effect to every word and clause in a statute, ordinance, or zoning resolution and avoid construction that renders a provision meaningless or inoperable. The Court of Appeals decision violated this basic rule of construction. Under the court's decision, a column heading in a statutory schedule is not to be read substantively and can therefore be ignored.
At least to me, that argument is fairly persuasive. But how, assume we agree with you, why is this necessarily a principal building? Why is the swimming pool? Why is the rec center?
Well, the Common Pleas Court determined that both the swimming pool and the community center were accessory buildings.
I misstated my question. Explain to me why they're not principal buildings.
Under the township zoning resolution and under most zoning resolutions and zoning codes, accessory buildings are defined as buildings that are incidental to the principal use of a lot but located on the same lot. This was a proposed condominium development. The Common Pleas Court determined, and the Court of Appeals didn't disturb, that the principal use of the lot here were the townhomes that were proposed for construction. And both also, the Common Pleas Court determined and the Court of Appeals affirmed, that these were accessory uses, that they were incidental, they were for the amenities, for the use of the residents and their guests. There really is no dispute here, no legitimate dispute, and the courts have confirmed that those are accessory uses.
Well, but by that reading, if the principal use of the one lot, as you're defining it, is townhomes, then even if they put a gas station or something else, it would still be principal use would still be the townhome. So I guess that would be accessory to that.
Well, a gas station wouldn't be a permitted accessory use, but whatever.
I mean, if you're just saying that, okay, the principal use is the townhome, so anything else, any other use of the property is accessory. Just that reading doesn't make a lot of sense outside this context anyway.
That's what the zoning resolution provides. It categorizes uses as either principal uses or accessory uses. And so uses fall into one of those two categories. It's a more obvious accessory use, but a sign is an accessory use. Parking spaces themselves are an accessory use of property. And in this instance, the zoning resolution expressly provides that recreational and community facilities for use of residents is a permitted accessory use in the zoning district where the property here is located. So there's really no dispute that these are accessory uses. The issue here, though, is that the court, as I said, the court here treated the column heading principal building or use as a title of a section of law, by doing so, it it...
So assume we agree with you on that, then what's the remedy? Do we send it back to the trial court to say, evaluate these, tell us whether or not this is a principal use under the right standard for the Court of Appeals, send it back to the Court of Appeals?
That would not be necessary, Your Honor, because, again, the Common Pleas Court determined, and within its authority on a 2506 appeal, that these were, in fact, accessory uses. The Court of Appeals had before it the question of whether the swimming pool was a permitted accessory use or a conditionally permitted use, and affirmed that the swimming pool was an accessory use. There's really never been a dispute that the community center, under the provision that I mentioned a moment ago, the provision allowing as accessory uses in this zoning district, recreational and community facilities for use of residents as an accessory use. So it's not necessary to send this back to the court for any of those determinations. The sole basis upon which the Court of Appeals affirmed the BZA's, Board of Zoning Appeals, determination that this entire development did not meet the zoning resolution, that all of the buildings and structures did not meet the zoning resolution, was with respect to the accessory swimming pool and accessory community center.
What was it, the facilities themselves or parking requirements for them?
Well, the parking, in order for the facilities to meet the zoning resolution's requirements, there had to be sufficient parking. Otherwise, the facilities would not meet the zoning resolution's requirements.
And so you dispute that there is not adequate parking? Is it your position that there is adequate parking for accessory use facilities?
It is our position that the zoning resolution does not, in the schedule applied by the Court of Appeals and the Common Pleas Court, does not specify parking requirements for accessory swimming pools or accessory community centers. In fact, with regard to swimming pools, the language here kind of confirms that, because it provides parking requirements for swimming pools, public or private, not associated with residences. A public pool, a YMCA pool, the swimming pool here is clearly associated with residences, and that's exactly what the Common Pleas Court determined. So that requirement doesn't apply here under any circumstances, but again, the schedule itself lists the uses to which the parking requirements in it apply, and under the heading principal building or use. The only way to determine that those also apply to accessory buildings and uses is to ignore that language, which is exactly what the Court of Appeals here did, or to rewrite it, to read it as if it reads principal or accessory buildings or uses. The court didn't have authority to do that.
Well, 310.02a talks about accessory off-street parking. Why isn't that applicable?
It is applicable. It provides, in essence, that parking, accessory off-street parking, is to be provided as a condition precedent to any use in conformance with the requirements of the chapter. So it begs the question of what are the requirements of the chapter. The requirements of the chapter are set out in Schedule 310.04, which is part of Section 310.04. That's the only provision in the chapter that specifies parking requirements, and it does that, again, under the heading principal building or use, because it sets out parking requirements for the listed buildings or uses to the extent that they're principal buildings or uses, and they are principal buildings or uses in various zoning districts within the township. So all of that works together. In essence, what the zoning resolution says is, if you have a use, you've got to provide parking in accordance with this schedule. The schedule sets out parking requirements for listed principals, buildings, and uses. The principal use of this property is the townhomes that were proposed as part of the zoning certificate application, and there's no dispute that the townhomes meet those parking requirements.
But the townhomes weren't submitted as a separate plan. This was a complete plan with the center and the swimming pool. It wasn't separate. correct?
There was not a separate application for just the principal buildings or uses, and that raises the second issue that this court accepted on appeal. Application of revised code section 519.17. And with respect to that, the Court of Appeals respectfully got it wrong as well. Because there, 519.17 provides that a zoning certificate shall not be issued for a building or structure unless the plans for that building or structure fully comply with the zoning regulations in effect at the time the application was submitted. So it requires plans to be reviewed on a building or structure, by building or structure basis, not on a development plan basis. The Court of Appeals misread 519.17 and in essence said, if you submit a plan that includes both principal and accessory uses, and any of those accessory uses don't fully comply, or accessory buildings or structures, forgive me, don't fully comply with the zoning regulations then in effect, then not only are you forbidden from getting a zoning certificate for that accessory use, that sign, that fence, but you can't even get a zoning certificate for the principal use of the property that fully complies with the zoning regulations. And that's exactly what happened here.
What if you had the opposite? Could you get approval for the accessory uses and not have approval for the principals?
No, you couldn't, Your Honor, because an accessory use, by definition, has to serve a principal use. You can't have an accessory use on a piece of property without a principal use.
Could you have, excuse me, could you have some homes that met the requirements and some that did not?
Absolutely. Not unusual at all for anybody who's driven through any subdivision to see lots with homes on them and other lots that don't. And that would be the result of the issuance of a zoning certificate where some of the buildings, some of the principal structures fully complied and some didn't fully comply. And until plans that fully comply with the zoning resolution were submitted, those portions of the property would remain vacant. That's exactly what Section 519.17 provides, and that's the way in which the applicant here, Willow Grove, submitted its application. It submitted an application for townhomes, but included on the plans accessory uses, and it specifically noted that it was seeking approval of accessory uses as permitted. So if they weren't permitted, they wouldn't be constructed.
So your argument here is there should have been a way to proceed with the home, building of the homes, even if, excuse me, the accessory use facilities were in dispute, because either this dispute would be resolved or wouldn't be, and there would be no accessory buildings. There would be no pool and no center, but the homes could still exist.
That's exactly right, Your Honor, and that's exactly what Section 519.17 provides. It provides for the issuance of a zoning certificate for buildings and structures where the plans for those buildings or structures fully comply with the zoning resolution. There's no dispute past the Court of Appeals that the townhouses here fully comply with the zoning resolution in effect at the time. And for that reason, at the very least, a zoning certificate should have been issued for those structures. Zoning certificate should also be issued for the swimming pool and the community center because they do fully comply. The only way that they were determined not to was because of the application of the parking requirements under the heading principal building or use to accessory structures. Thank you.
Thank you. Counsel?
Chief Justice O'Connor, and may it please the court. David Riepenhoff for Olmsted Township and Olmsted Township Board of Zoning Appeals. Your Honors, in the Township's view, this case presents an opportunity for this court to reaffirm what it has repeatedly informed the state, and that is when applying a zoning provision, a court must not view the provision in isolation. Rather, its meaning should be derived from a reading of the provision taken in the context of the entire ordinance. That was more recently pronounced in Cleveland Clinic when the court was analyzing the zoning application at issue there.
Aren't the titles part of the entire ordinance?
Your Honor, the titles are part of it, but they cannot be read in isolation as the appellant does here.
So you agree that the court got that wrong when it said that these aren't substantive titles, we'll just use them in case of ambiguity?
Your Honor, I believe the 8th District did consider that the titles are there, use them as guideposts, and would consider them an ambiguity, but not to override the clear content and context of the verbiage itself.
But aren't they part of the verbiage of itself? I mean, what difference does it make whether or not someone listed the text that had been enacted in a title form or and put that title in a sentence? It could have written it, principal uses are A, B, C, D, E, and just listed them out. It would have been the same thing, right?
Right. The legislature can express itself in the form of, you know, a column heading or title, but when you just pick those words and don't read them with the rest of the section, it doesn't make any sense. If I can explain in the context of Chapter 310 directly at issue, in 310.01, the zoning resolution expresses its intent with respect to these parking spaces to protect the health, safety, and welfare by requiring that all uses have off-street parking spaces. Appellant's construction would have you write into that only the principal uses of the entire lot need have parking spaces. And further, in 310.02, the zoning resolution states that it requires off-street parking spaces for any building or structure or land in conformance with the chapter. Appellant, again, would have you write in that only the principal uses of the entire lot. And that way, I think the Court of Appeals was informative here. The Court of Appeals said that appellant's construction ignores that if something is included in the schedule, whether or not it's the, you know, principal use of the entire lot, if it's not a principal use of the lot, then it can't have any parking spaces at all.
Could the public, someone from the public, come in and use the pool or the center?
They could. We understand the, you know, as in terms of the testimony before the BZA, that the townhome owners and their occupants can invite their guests.
No. Not townhome owners and occupants. Can somebody from the public come off the street and use the facilities?
Not to my knowledge, Your Honor.
So isn't it for the use of the residents?
It is for the use of the residents, but also the zoning resolution in 310.04 in the schedule defines the pool the community center as a public or semi-public building. And this way, the BZA found, and the Common Pleas Court affirmed that it was supported by preponderance of evidence, that the community center was a semi-public building.
Okay, so then get to, I guess, the second part. If you find that the accessory use structures were not in conformance, why does that preclude the construction of the homes, of the residences?
Right, Your Honor. So you're going to the second proposition of law. And we believe the language of 519.17 is clear. The plans have to fully comply. Appellant's plans did not fully comply. They're the ones who submitted the plans. Zoning inspectors and local zoning officials don't write plans.
So any time a zoning inspector finds one teeny thing wrong, you can reject the whole development? I mean, if there was a sign that was too big that was proposed out front?
Well, signs are a bit different under this zoning ordinance, Your Honor, because there is a separate sign application process.
Okay, well, but you get the point.
I mean, I do.
What if there was, curb flowers too close to the curb or something? They can just reject the whole thing.
Yes, they can reject the plans as submitted. However, to address Her Honor's question to appellant's counsel, is appellant just looking for a way to proceed here with the principal uses? There was obviously a way to proceed with the principal uses, submit plans for those uses, and come back and submit plans for accessories later, or...
Could they do that? You rezone the area.
Well, arguably, it's already vested under the zoning resolution as it was pursuant to the application.
So they could take everything that they've submitted, give it all back to you again, and just take out the pool in the center?
That would be a resubmission of the application. The distinction I'm making is if appellant wanted to apply for just the townhomes, just principal uses, and come back for accessories later, they wouldn't have to come back to the zoning commission and say, we need to resubmit all the townhomes again. The townhomes were already approved in their initial application. If they wanted to build out accessory uses later, they could. Or, as probably they could have done here, they could have asked for a variance or a divergent or something else. I suspect they're out of time here with the effective date of the zoning resolution.
Council, over here. Let's look at zoning resolution section 510.05. Mm-hmm. It talks about not issuing the certificate when the structure as proposed would violate So if the townhomes, I mean, it's not talking about plans or application in that sentence. It's talking about the structure, singular. So if the other structures are okay, then why can you deny the whole thing? It says the structure. Mm-hmm.
Your Honor, because the plans they submitted, I mean, liking it back to 51917 and the corollary section of Chapter 510 of the zoning resolution talk about the plans in the plural. They didn't submit an application.
But this doesn't. This talks about denying the certificate based upon the structure, singular.
It does, but using that, just focusing on the singular of the structure would ignore the fact that what's practically before the zoning official and the BZA at the time is a whole set of plans.
It's the whole application, right?
And if
but in the next sentence of 510.05, it talks about the application. So obviously, whoever wrote this knew the difference between the structure and the application. So why shouldn't we enforce it as written?
Your Honor, I don't think one really has to do with the other in this setting. To explain, what accompanies the application are the plans. Otherwise, what would the zoning inspector
right.
review, right?
Right?
And so here, if the court were to accept the second proposition of law, assuming that it, you know, affirms the Court of Appeals as to appellant's first proposition of law, they would send back to the local zoning official a set of plans. Site map A2 is a great example. It has the entire plan on it. And when they send back the entire plan, what would be nebulous, that wouldn't exist, is what would be in place of the uses that are planned that are not in nonconformance. This isn't an application, and perhaps this is what the zoning resolution is referring to in that section. This is an application to build just one principal use, and that's it. It's a whole set of plans that's been submitted to this local zoning official. It's problematic because zoning officials throughout the state don't write, modify, or modify plans. They accept the plans that are given to them, and they review them to check the conformance with the zoning resolution. So that said,
you still haven't answered why should I not enforce it as written, that the zoning certificate can be denied for the structure.
Right. We think that needs to be read in conjunction with 51917 in the corollary zoning resolution section, that the plans for the structure here include nonconforming pieces. If appellant would have submitted plans that were only for a compliant structure, and that's it.
But like Your Honor's question. This provision doesn't deal with plans. It deals with a structure.
It does, but there have to be the plans for the structure for the zoning inspector to review to understand.
That's not what that says.
Right, well, I think that, you know, we have to look at what does the zoning inspector actually look at when the zoning application is submitted to them, and it's for the structure, for instance.
Yeah, so the court, we have to look at the words of your resolution.
Right.
And I'm just reading what the resolution says.
Right.
Tell me why I'm wrong.
And I think Your Honor, that the verbiage that you're reading from has to be read and paired with 51917, because you can't parse out different structures that are compliant within one set of plans from the structures that are non-compliant.
Why?
Because there would be a blank in the plans.
So?
And so means that what's going to be there? You know, so there has to be a compliant plan submitted. And I understand the point you're making, Your Honor, and that is, can we just issue the zoning certificate for one townhome or two townhomes? Or to Your Honor's question, what if some of the townhomes don't comply or not? And I think the answer is no in this setting. If they had come to the commission or to the zoning inspector and asked for those specific plans for that structure, for one structure, then that would be received. But here, the whole plans for the entire development have been submitted. I think there's a discussion about by counsel in briefing about their prior application and whether or not that was approved. Now, the prior application is not in the record, but right, but it has to do with the plans were reviewed for the structures that were proposed at the time, and if they are compliant, it was approved. So it's the township's position that you can't issue a zoning certificate for a structure, for any specific structure, on a whole set of plans.
I understand your position. I'm just saying what your language is.
I understand, Your Honor.
Okay.
Thank you. So, Your Honors, just I'll circle back to the parking space requirement here for a minute and then wrap up. As to the parking space requirement, like the Court of Appeals, you look at the principal use or the primary use of the particular structure in the schedule of 310.04. The verbiage in the heading that it's the principal building or use doesn't mean that it has to be the principal use of the whole lot. Otherwise, Section 310.02, which requires off-street parking for any building or structure, would be rendered meaningless. In this case, the definitions of a principal use under the zoning resolution are the primary or main use or activity of a building or lot. So there's a difference between a principal use of the lot, which are the 202 townhomes, we understand that, than what the principal use of the particular building would be. As one of the justices asked for appellant's counsel, what do you make of the verbiage of accessory off-street parking spaces in 310.02? Well, the parking spaces are accessory to the community center and the pool. And it makes sense in the facts of this case. Here you've got 202 townhomes spanning over a 30-acre parcel with only 8 spaces planned. And under appellant's construction...
Well, wait a minute. 8 in front of the pool, right?
In front of the community and center and pool, correct.
So it says, again, your 310.04, section 10, swimming pools, public and private, in parentheses, not associated with residences. So you have sufficient parking for all the townhomes. Those are residences. You have an exclusion here in respect to not associated with residences. How are we to read that?
Your Honor, I'd read it just like the BZA did and the Common Pleas Court affirmed. The BZA, reviewing what these structures are going to be, how they're going to be used, found that they are not associated with residences, meaning associated with any individual residence like a backyard pool. We believe, Your Honor, that once the Court of Common Pleas found that interpretation was supported by a preponderance of evidence, that under Cleveland Clinic, the standard of review on appeal is deferential.
But doesn't that, again, though, conflict with your earlier statement saying, when I said, you know, could someone from the public come and use the pool? And the answer was no. So it's if it's not associated with, so I couldn't drive up, park in the space and use the pool if I wasn't a guest or a resident myself, resident of the development or a guest of one of the residents. So how is it, you're saying the interpretation is associated with a single or individual resident, but that's not what it says.
Right, I understand it says not associated with residences, plural.
Plural.
In this say backyard, but it doesn't say backyard.
It does not.
It doesn't say single family dwelling backyard pool. It just says not associated with residences.
Correct, Your Honor. And in this setting, I think that we run the risk of requiring a zoning resolution to be so precise that it overrides the context of the chapter. And in this instance, we have a 2,600 square foot pool and a 1,664 square foot community center located all the way at the front of a 30-acre property with 202 townhomes, and where are people going to park?
Well, and clearly all 200 homes can't have five guests at the same time using the pool in the center.
But they might have dozens or more, and for only 8 spaces planned, that would trouble the health, safety, and welfare of the folks using those facilities.
So you're saying that you would envision more than 8 residents, even if we discard or discount guests, more than 8 residents driving to the pool on any given time when that pool's open?
Or the community center, Your Honor,
or
yes.
The community center.
Yeah. Right. For instance...
Why can't there be restrictions placed? No more guests than the parking spaces allow, that in your driveway or in the parking spaces allotted for the accessory uses.
That they didn't plan any restrictions in their zoning plan and the plan submitted to the zoning commission, so we're only left with, or the zoning inspector, I'm sorry, so we're left with what they're proposing, and what they're proposing is no limitation on use.
Well, I'm not sure that they said that, but I guess you say by exclusion, that's what they're proposing.
Right, Your Honor. And we can only review what they're proposing to us and not assume that they're going to put restrictions on it later on.
Okay.
Thank you.
Your Honors, I'm out of time. Thank you for your time.
Counsel, you've saved 2 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor.
All right, Counsel, why is it unreasonable to take a look at the club and the pool, and it has only 8 spaces, which is insufficient? Would you agree with that?
Your Honor, we wouldn't. The testimony before the BZA was that, based on experience of the developer here, residents will walk or bike to the pool. It's a pool for the use of this condominium development. And
how many condos in it?
202. And
is it a family development, or is it primarily like 55 and older? What's the makeup?
It would be a mix. But we know that
even if they all used it, they don't need the parking spots.
Exactly right, Your Honor. People use pools when it's warm. They walk places. They bike. The community center is a gathering place. The record showed with a capacity of, I believe, 46.
What did you say?
Capacity of 46 people. People have gatherings of 46 people at their homes routinely, and we don't require accessory off-street parking for that. People manage. Rules are imposed in order to control traffic, if necessary, at a condominium development.
Well,
like
two
this.
Things. One, Councillor said, Mr. Rapenhoff, that wasn't in your plans, that there would be any restrictions. But even more so, why are you here when it seems, at least from Appalese standpoint, is it's just a matter of either bifurcating the residents from the accessory uses, not doing accessory uses now, or are you here because you want the accessory uses, you think the parking is adequate, but your second proposition seems to say if it's not, we should still be able to build the residences.
Of course, Willow Grove here believes that the swimming pool and the community center meet the zoning regulations requirements, and that there aren't parking requirements applicable to them. You also heard Councillor explain that if we were to submit an application that only had those uses that the BZA and now the Court of Appeals determined to be fully compliant, that would be a new application and that the zoning has changed. And so you can see exactly what would happen here. That application would be rejected on that basis.
But you get a variance?
Not guaranteed.
There's no reason to assume that would be available. And the standards for a variance, which I'm not going to go into before the court in this hearing, may not apply here. But the overarching, more important point that raises is that according to the township's position, the only way to avoid denial of a zoning certificate for buildings that fully comply with the zoning regulations then in effect is to submit separate applications for each building and each accessory use.
I don't think that's what they're saying, is that that's saying one way of dealing with this. When you're running into accessory uses versus the principal uses, you can, as Justice Stewart said, bifurcate and do plan by plan. Now, here's my question. Should you be required to put in more than 8 spaces? Is there room? Is there, you know, real estate that you could do that with?
The record indicates that in addition to those 8 spaces, there are, I believe, a total of 33 additional spaces scattered throughout the development. Of course,
wait a minute.
Spaces.
All right, stop. Scattered throughout the development where there's little, off ramp sort of places where people can park that don't impede the flow of, you know, the driveways and the individual roads. That's what you're talking about.
That is. And parking and driveways as well. Again,
okay,
these are for use of residents and their guests.
My question is around this structure, the clubhouse and the pool. Is there real estate to put more parking spaces?
They're under the plan before the Board of Zoning Appeals, the township inspector says, and the court, no, there is not. But again, that's because that's not what the zoning resolution requires. And that's the emphasis here. The law here is written by the township. It could have chosen to write it however it chose. It chose the words that it used in that schedule. And those are the words that this court, every court, is constrained to apply here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. We'll take the matter under advisement. You'll be notified of our decision. Marshall, will you call a recess?
All rise.